To say that the city of Chelsea has been through a lot in the last few years would be understating it. High rates of COVID infection, about 1 in 5 people actually lost their jobs in April 2020. According to government data, there's been food insecurity, education gaps have been widening, worsening heat islands due to climate change. Just this past week, a COVID outbreak affected almost 30 residents and staff at Chelsea's Veterans Home. Nevertheless, through it all, Chelsea has innovated. The city has pushed forward. They vaccinated more than 80% of the population, according to the city, and they ran a guaranteed basic income pilot so successful that they brought it back for a second round. So today, we are checking in with Chelsea and some of the voices we've been in conversation with for the last few years. And today, we begin with their brightest young minds. Joining us, Almi Abeda, superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools. Superintendent, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. It's always nice to be here.
It's great to have you back. We've been talking with you off and on for about 3 years now, and I understand you and a few students are on a bit of an adventure this morning. You're going to be taking a field trip to the State House.
Correct. We are going to the State House to visit our Senator Sal DiDomenico this morning. And we're busy. It's the end of the year. We have graduation on Saturday. It was a little wet, but there was a lot of joy in the air. So we were just excited about it. The end of year is always an exciting time for us.
And what has been sort of the spirit or the character of this school year? Has it been kind of a back to normal year, Superintendent?
Well, it does feel good that we're back to normal. And as we're back to normal, we're realizing that even though we're in person, we're still dealing with some of the ramifications of the pandemic. What we see are students still with mental health issues, and then we're still accelerating learning because we do have students that are behind. And so we're trying to make up that learning loss through extended learning with summer school, Saturday school, evening school, vacation school. So we're really putting our stimulus dollars to use right now.
So I want to stay there for a minute, and we're speaking with Superintendent of the Chelsea Public Schools, Almi Abeda, right now. I want to stay there for here's a little bit of data. The Massachusetts Education Equity Partnership had a report last September that said that Black and Latinx students in the Commonwealth were struggling to read at grade level at higher rates than before the pandemic. The gap between ninth graders coming from low-income families and those from wealthier families who passed their classes also widened in 2021. We know that those are representative of some of the demographics of students in the Chelsea Public Schools, and you've paid really, really close attention. We've talked to you about this over the last 3 years, about the disproportionate impacts of COVID on kids in the Chelsea Public Schools. So it sounds like there's a series of investments you want to make now to try to close that gap. Do you feel like you have what you need, Superintendent, to do that? And do you feel like, you know, kids in the Chelsea Public Schools have hit a triple whammy here?
I do. We, you know, I'm extremely grateful for the extra funding that we've received through our ESSER dollars. We also have Student Opportunity Act dollars, and I'm grateful for that. We're trying to do our best to make up that learning loss, and then we have a lot of mental health needs. So with our Student Opportunity Act dollars, we've invested in mental health, social workers, counseling, telehealth. We've had to be creative because even though we've invested in our social workers and counseling, it's hard to find people. Sometimes there's still worker shortages with teachers and mental health providers. And so telehealth has been one way we've been extremely creative. And then on the learning loss side, for example, we're targeting our low 30% students, providing tutoring after school. And again, we're still struggling, even though we have the funds and we're able to right now, we still have some worker shortages, and we've hired private tutoring online companies, one in particular. And so we're just doing whatever we can. You have to really think out of the box and how do you make up this time for our students? And, you know, our students only have today. And so we have to move quickly to try to get them up to grade level. And we're working really hard in Chelsea. Our educators are amazing. And, you know, we're monitoring our student growth and our outcomes. And, you know, we're making 1 year growth, and sometimes we call stretch goals, trying to make that 2 year growth in 1 year. And just everybody's working really hard. And I have an amazing team. So, we're just going to keep plowing away.
Superintendent, I'm just going to acknowledge for our listeners, we've got, and you may not be able to hear it, we've got a little bit of a hitch in your line sometimes. And I'm going to keep plowing ahead because there's so much I want to talk to you about, and this conversation is important to us. But just acknowledging for listeners, we're aware there's a little bit of a hitch in your line as we're talking to you. I want to stay with mental health for a minute. You know, you've said our kids have only got today. Respecting that, I'm actually going to go back to a little bit of sound from 2021, and then I'll bring us back to today. In 21, we spoke with Kim Huffer, who is the district's administrator of social work and social and emotional learning, about the level of mental health challenge that kids in Chelsea were facing in 2021. Here that is.
We're just seeing a little bit more, I don't know, like, I guess I would say hopelessness of feeling like, are things going to change? Are things going to get better? I mean, I've just been thinking about just kind of what students have been carrying with them, right? That maybe we didn't know about.
And that's from some WBUR reporting that year. What I'm thinking about, Superintendent, is, of course, since then, you know, the Surgeon General Vivek Murthy has talked about an epidemic of loneliness. We've heard from the Centers for Disease Control about mental health challenges for adolescents, especially adolescent girls, and especially adolescent girls of color and LGBTQ kids. So we know that across the board, the mental health challenges for kids have been getting harder. What's your call to parents, to the greater Boston community, to the greater Chelsea community, to the Massachusetts community, to step up for kids, especially kids who were dealt a lot of hard blows, like Chelsea kids were in these pandemic years?
Yeah, you know, that's such an important question. And I would say to our community, and I have to say our community has been amazing. We have a children's cabinet in the city of Chelsea. Our former city manager and I, we came together, and actually during the pandemic, I talked to him and said, can we form a children's cabinet to address the needs where people in the community come together, partners. And so Mr. Ambrosino and I and our partners, we came together, and one thing that was on the forefront of our minds was mental health. And so then as a result of that, when the ARPA funds came through the city of Chelsea, it was the city that actually said, we will put money forth and support mental health. And so that's how we've been able to do the telehealth. And I'm extremely grateful for that partnership. But we came together, we made a proposal, we worked with North Suffolk Mental Health, and we're just trying to address the needs at every angle, recognizing that the providers are, and everywhere, whether it's at the hospitals, whether it's in the schools, that everybody is overloaded right now. But we do have, the nice thing about the online telehealth is it's private. So some kids who may be a little hesitant to say, I need some help, this being private, they're able to get that help immediately. And it's there's no embarrassment. There's always, sometimes there can be a stigma, but just trying to approach it very gingerly and let everybody know that we have services and they're available.
So in our last 30 seconds, you mentioned former Chelsea City Manager Tom Ambrosino there. He's retired. It's got to have been an exhausting few years. How are you going to recharge?
I am trying to take care of myself. By resting on the weekends, and I have two dogs that I absolutely love, and I try to walk them as much as I can.
I am all for the dogs and the dog walks, especially. A superintendent of Chelsea Public Schools, Almi Abeda, we've been in conversation with you since the start of the pandemic. I know you've been out front. It's great to check back in. Have a good summer. Can we talk to you again at the beginning of next school year?
Absolutely.
Thanks, and have fun with the kids at the State House today.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We are continuing a check-in with the city of Chelsea today, which has shown incredible resilience in the face of mounting public health, climate, and economic challenges over the last few years. We started off touching bases with school superintendent Almi Abeda, and now let's look at how the city is innovating to face some of the challenges. Let's welcome back Gladys Vega, executive director of La Colaborativa. They are a social services organization that's focused on empowering Latinx immigrants in Chelsea and in Greater Boston. Gladys, welcome back to you.
Thank you for having me. So it's a pleasure to be back.
It's great to have you back. And, you know, it's almost like, where do I even start on the things that we could talk about, Gladys, because there's so much that you do. But I think it's interesting that we had to speak remotely today, because actually you're in the middle of serving people right this minute and couldn't come into the studio as a result. So maybe actually let's just start with the critical work you're doing literally right now.
Sure. So at La Colaborativa, we are faced with lots of housing displacement at times, especially this week, two cases of domestic violence, severe cases of physical abuse, placing people in hotels out of the city, making sure that we provide all the essential services, and now having the two females coming back here to make sure that we're getting the mental health and other essential services as they're transitioning out of their violent relation.
So Gladys, what's one thing that we may not know and we should understand about in work like this that is so tender and important and trust-based and critical that you need from the community, from the state, from our policies and our people to be able to show up for women the way you're showing up today?
Sure. So I think one of the things that I would love to talk about is the fact that, you know, we continue to have a financial crisis after the pandemic, that the city of Chelsea with our municipal government has done incredible work to provide essential services, but has not been enough due to the fact that we just survived a global pandemic. We were extremely poor back then. We're worse off now as the prices of food it went up, as the utility went up, and many, many people have not been able to keep their jobs for different reasons. Sometimes they don't have daycare services. Sometimes we are faced also, we create these work logic models and these work plans, and then we get, like last week, we got a total of 43 people that came from Miami because of the DeSantis practice of anti-immigration practices or bills that he passed in Florida. So in the city of Chelsea, we're getting a wave of new immigrants from Florida, in addition to all the ones that we get, you know, from the border, from Texas, etc. But now also we're having people driving here where the families are blended. You may have someone who's a TPS holder, a temporary protected status holder from El Salvador, he has permission to work here. He has a driver's license, but his wife is undocumented or his mother-in-law is undocumented, and they are afraid of new policies that in Florida are being in effect as we speak. So those are the situations that we have on a regular daily basis. And I think what people need to understand that when you are the Latino organization that is trusted in the community, that comes with a lot of responsibility. And it comes with this notion, and I tell the staff all the time, this is not like a 10 to 6 job. This has to, you know, the family that we just, the female that we placed, we had to go with a police officer to her house with a staff member to make sure that we help her remove her belongings as the police officer we're going to serve him a restraining order. We have this amazing relationship with our local police department and our municipal government. But because we're the trusted agent, a lot of the work people rely on us to help them go through the different processes or get the different channels of resources that we need to provide to our community members.
So there's so much there, and we're speaking with Gladys Vega, who's the executive director of La Colaborativa, as we check in with organizations and the community in the city of Chelsea today. And this is exactly why I wanted to check in with you, right, and talk with you, Gladys. There's so much here. I want to hit a couple of hash marks in what you just said. So first, what I think I hear you saying is that in addition to being responsive to new migrants coming to Massachusetts from other countries, and we've spoken with you about that in the past, including speaking with you after the flight that landed in Martha's Vineyard last summer, that were people who had come across the southern border but were flown in that plane to Martha's Vineyard by the Florida government. You're saying you are now seeing people who were living in Florida who are coming to Chelsea because they no longer feel safe and able to live in the state of Florida. So first, is that, am I understanding you correctly? Is that what you just said to
100% me? Correct. Okay. Yes.
Okay. And second, you're saying that that's in addition to the added strains, both of additional migrants coming to the community and increased cost, economic pressure, and the remaining legacies of the COVID-19 pandemic, which have created really heavy burdens on the strong existing community in Chelsea.
Correct. One particular issue also, the cost of living, the overcrowded in apartments because of our proximity to Boston have forced many people in Chelsea to live in overcrowded condition. That was also, you know, one of the dilemmas that we have when we had COVID-19, because there were so many people living in one apartment that allowed for people to get very, very sick. Same thing is happening now without COVID, but other financial crises. So for example, you know, food has been very, very hard for people to be able to buy food, pay the rent or utilities. So you always have family members that come to La Colaborativa seeking for economic help, because if they pay the utility bill, they may get delayed in the rent. And landlords with, you know, they also, some landlords are very good in understanding. Other landlords are also living check to check. So you have to understand that our dilemma is helping navigate the system, but also trying to figure out, okay, if I give you $1,000 for your rent, how are we going to be able to make sure that you don't get behind? If we do the RAFT application from the state.
That's the rental assistance program.
Yes, for the rental assistance program. We are happy to do that. We have an incredible team here that does it. But now we have to make sure that you're able to sustain yourself after that financial help.
So let me jump in
there. One of the requirements is that, and we're very happy with the requirement. It's just that people don't own $7,000 of rent. People still owe $14,000 because they carry on from the 1.5 years that they were not working during the pandemic. That amount of money is still there.
You mean when there was relief from eviction or back payments, and now they owe a bolus of money plus rent going forward. We're going to run out of time, but one other thing I want to check in with you on. You were part of the initiative to create Chelsea Eats. That then led to a $400 a month basic income program done through lottery. It ran twice. It's over now. I understand that you completed the second round in May. We talked to Jeff Liebman from Harvard University about how successful that was. I know... it worked. Is there hope that there could be funding to do more of that in the city of Chelsea?
I doubt there will be funding to do that. We need to make sure that there's something similar that happens. That money was very well used. It was used for food. The city of Chelsea should be very proud, and Shaw Foundation, the people that contributed to that, because it was very, very successful. The two times that we did it. The only thing that I'm thinking is that the state has to do more as the SNAP programs are being cut, as we may have to, we're advocating for reinstituting the Feeding Our Neighbors Coalition, which basically it's a policy that allows for people to get food stamps or, you know, cash assistance or food stamps in order for migrant families to buy. And those migrant families are not people that do not have any type of documentation. They are DACA holders. They're temporary status. They're people that have a legal process to be in the United States, but they have no access to state programs or federal program. So we are trying to pass a bill that allows, it's called the Feeding Our Neighbors bill. And that is basically a small cash assistance and food stamps to allow people to buy food. Chelsea needs a lot of help. We remain a very poor city, but we're not different than Brockton. We're not different than Lawrence. We're not different than Lynn. I have to advocate for all those cities and towns that have continued to get lots of migrants moving in, and many other poor people in general.
There
you
it is.
You don't have to be migrant to be poor.
Gladys.
Chelsea, our community is very, very poor.
Gladys, I'm so sorry to break in on you because I have such tremendous respect for the message you're giving. We'll end there for now, but we'll
Thank
talk
you.
Again. Gladys Vega, Executive Director of La Collaborativa.